May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 968. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. 'Tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Hymn 968.
Thank you. May the Lord help us this morning in reading from his holy word. We'll read the first six verses in Job 32 and then Job 33. The first six verses in Job 32, really, friends, just to set the background of Elihu, and then Job 33, where he speaks further to Job. So Job 32, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Also, against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer, and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled, and Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. I've returned to Job 33, when really Elihu starts the main part of his speech to Job. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My word shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression, I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasions against me, he counteth me for his enemy, he putteth my feet in the stocks, he marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men in slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness. Then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favourable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God, oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I shall teach thee wisdom. May the Lord bless his word as we have read it. May he grant us help in prayer. Most holy Lord God of Israel, we do come before thee and present ourselves before thee in the house of God this morning. And Lord, we do pray that we might desire a little of that love that we have sung of in our hearts to thee. Lord, we pray that there may have been those souls that have entered into thy courts this morning, desiring that their bosom would glow with love, desiring, Lord, that there would be something to give them that warmth within, a portion from the Lord for their never-dying soul, that they would be able to say with one of old, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Lord, we pray that as we have entered in thy courts here this morning, that there may be that real exercise and burden for thy house, thy people, thy day, and thy blessing. Lord, we cannot command the blessing, but we may beseech thee for it. And therefore, we would echo the prayers of our dear friend in the vestry, that, Lord, there might be that time of favour today. Lord, we do pray that it might be the set time to favour Zion. Yea, that, Lord, thou wilt come down and bless souls and favour them. That, Lord, the Son of Righteousness will appear with healing in his wings. And, Lord, if we know ourselves, each and every one that has entered in need that healing touch from thee spiritually, Lord. And maybe there are those that need it providentially. And if so, Lord, do hear and answer prayer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Lord, may it be there are these deep wounded souls to thee repair, that is to thee come. Oh, may it be so this morning, and Saviour, We are such. We are such. Yes, a soul seeking the blessing of God upon them. Lord, we pray then for that healing touch from above. Oh, Lord, we would confess our sins. Lord, another week of sin since the last Lord's Day. Another week, Lord, of lack of faith. Another week in which we'd wandered, as it were, in the wilderness and at times have not had our eyes up unto thee. Lord, we must confess these things. And though, Lord, we may feel that we've, and it's a wonderful mercy if we have been much blessed and favoured, but Lord, the wanderings. Lord, we pray that thou wilt enable us to come with a prayer of Cowper, that thou wouldest give us that light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Lord, we pray that thy word might be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. So, Lord, do be with us now then as we gather together. Wonderful favour, Lord, to gather in thy courts. And we do pray, Lord, that we might esteem the house of God. That it might be with us. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, "Come, let us seek our Lord today." Yes, and to be able to present ourselves before thee. But Lord, as we do that, thou lookest upon the heart, and it's a solemn thought for us to consider what thou dost see. Lord, we do pray, thou wilt put our hearts in tune with the things of God, that there might be that desire to worship thee this day. Oh, Lord, to worship thee with a full heart, to worship thee with praise and honour, and to worship thee, to worship the King, as the hymn writer says, and to desire to truly lay ourselves before the King of Kings. Then, Lord, help us as we come. We do pray thou would give us a prayer of thanks, gratitude, and thanksgiving, Lord, for thy many mercies to us each, strewn across our pathway. How little we record these things. Lord, indeed, so often we feel they pass us by. What shall I render unto him for all his benefits towards me? Well, Lord, we pray that sinners will yet be able to come with thanksgiving, with praise, which is honourable unto God. And how beautiful is that word, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise, not just given praise. Oh, the babes in Christ, may there be a few here this morning. Oh, the sucklings in him. Oh, Lord, we pray then that they might have come to thy courts with that desire to praise thee, Lord, that desire to have that thankful heart. But out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Lord, it's a wonderful thought to have that perfect praise and thanksgiving that thou wilt bring forth from thy people. Oh, Lord, help us to praise thee more. And Lord, we do pray that we might exhort thee then as we come this morning. Do remember this, dear people. We do pray, Lord, for the deacons. We do pray for one in his mourning, Lord, and that solitary pathway now. And oh, we beg that thou wilt draw near to him and, Lord, graciously help him and go before him. Lord, thou knowest the way. Oh, Lord, hold him up, we do pray. And his dear family, the dear family here, Lord, and the mother and the grandmother and one taken, Lord, to be with thee. And Lord, oh, we do pray that thou would lovingly look after, watch over the family in this loss. And Lord, it's a poignant time of year, Lord, to suffer. We pray for them. For thy mercy and thy love and thy kindness to be upon them at this time. and others also in that path of loss and bereavement. We pray for both deacons, Lord, in their responsibilities and their cares and their burdens, Lord, for this place and for the continuance of the ministry and the prayer meetings and all the burdens that they carry, Lord, for the people. And Lord, thou knowest, do hear and answer prayer and help them with those exercises and burdens, that they can prove, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Lord, it is our prayer that thou wilt be with the church. Lord, oh, thou hast taken one to be with thee in glory, and there is that, Lord, that thou hast encouraged another to come. And Lord, we do pray for him, and pray that, Lord, thou wilt be with us, Lord, as we lovingly desire to offer that right hand of fellowship this evening, God willing. Lord, send us each help in these things. And may the people, Lord, the church and people here rejoice in what the Lord has done. And may we put the crown upon thy head. And may we bless thee, Lord, because, Lord, we read this, that there's joy in heaven. Oh, may there be joy in earth then. May there be joy, Lord, in Swavesey Chapel, because there's joy in heaven over every sinner that repenteth. Then, Lord, we do pray that it may be that day of joy for them here today. And Lord, how it comes into us, Lord, and yet there is room. And we pray and we beseech of thee, Lord, that Zion's children will have to come in the day of thy power, and there will be no standing before it, and there will be no, as it were, walking in the other direction. Thou wilt draw them. Ah, Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet, Lord, and this is the word, and we've had to prove it, and we believe those that come have to prove it. Resistless grace. Lord, grant that there may be more of that resistless grace poured forth in this place, so that souls will have to come and give a little account. Lord, it's a little account. What can we speak? Living tongues are dung at best. We must die to speak of Christ. But a little account of what we hope thou hast done for us. Oh, Lord, what hast thou done? We pray that thou wilt constrain poor souls. And Lord, we do pray that not just for here, but for other hills of Zion. Lord, that we might see thy work going on in the land. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with each of the congregation too. We pray for the children, Lord. We pray thou wilt help them and remember them. Be with them, those at school, those homeschooled, those, Lord, that have that burden for the children. We pray for them. We pray that thou would help them. We pray thou would grant them a prayerful spirit from a young age. We pray, Lord, thou would keep them by the house of God. We pray that thou would help them in all their paths. We pray that thou would guide them. Lord, remember them, we pray. And Lord, do be with the little babes too, and we pray for help for parents in, with the babes, Lord, and sometimes the sleepless nights and other things, Lord, thou knowest. But in all this, much prayer, much seeking of the Lord, we pray for those, Lord, parents of older children too. Remember them in all their burdens, concerns, and some of the things that they have to deal with, Lord, in this 21st century so-called tolerant age, and yet, Lord, in many ways it's intolerant of Christians. Lord, we pray thou would help them in these things. Lord, we do plead thou will be with then the parents in their daily pathway. Lord, remember those in the heat and the burden of the day, at the middle part of life with all its cares and concerns and tribulations and ups and downs. Lord, hold them up, hold them on, grant much prayer and exercise. We do plead, and oh, we seek that thou wilt be with them. And oh, we would pray for those in older age. Lord, how the 80 years and 10 creeps up. And then if by strength 80, Lord, thou knowest, and those beyond that, we pray that thou wilt be with them. Where the grasshopper becomes a burden, Lord, and perhaps others look on and see it in others, it is a burden and they don't recognise it themselves. But Lord, do help them. Help those that look on as well and have the responsibility and care for them. And Lord, we pray, thou wilt be with thy people in old age and prepare them for glory and prepare them, Lord, to stand before thee and each of us. For we know not what a day can bring forth. Lord, do come and graciously exercise hearts and work in them. Lord, we plead. And oh, we do pray for any that are afflicted, any that are troubled, any that are down, any that are struggling this morning. Lord, thou knowest exactly where the poor souls are. Thou knowest exactly what they need. Lord, do give them a little balm. Do give them a touch from thee. We do pray. Lord, we do beg that thou wilt remember thy servants that have gone forth this day. We pray for our own pastor, Bucket Staplehurst. Remember him, Lord, and give him that mouth matter and wisdom. Bless the word there. We pray, Lord, though, for each of thy servants and the pastors that have gone forth into the ministry this day. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt send them with a thus saith the Lord. And we know, Lord, of some as they've shared their fears and their worries, Lord, about today. And Lord, we believe that there is that looking unto thee. How else can we do these things? Lord, we cannot. But thou art a kind and gracious God, and thou dost not fail thy people. Well, we pray for thy servants, be with them and equip them and bless them, and may it be a gospel day in Zion, a day to remember, a day of the Lord's appearing, a day of the Lord's a favour. And so, Lord, we do beg that thou wilt remember us each as we are before thee now. We think of our land and nation, Lord. Oh, we've come away from thee. And the nations of the world. And there is this judgment, Lord, upon us with the ongoing virus. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt, and thou hast shown mercy in that judgment, we believe, in so many ways. But may there be those that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ savingly through these things. We do thank thee, Lord, for that improvement in Richard Woodhams, thy servant, and pray that he may continue to improve. We hear that he preached, Lord, with the help of oxygen on Thursday, and we pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with him if he ventures today. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with each of thy people and watch over them and keep them. Lord, we do plead that we each will prove that this virus is in thy hand. We cannot get it unless it's thy sovereign will. And Lord, if we do get it, it is down to thee, Lord, and that thou canst then be with us. We do pray, Lord, there might be that real faith and trust and looking to thee in these things. And Lord, in our land and nation where we seem to be in so many ways just looking after the needs of some of these minority groups, Lord, and we seem to wander from the way of the word of God. Lord, do bring us back. Turn us again, O Lord. We do beg. We need it. We need turning. And we're part of this nation, and how sinful we are in so many ways. Lord, do come, we plead. Now, Lord, thy word is before us. We pray for the blessing of the Lord upon it this morning. Do touch this poor sinner's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar, so that we might speak well of the Lord that we would speak well of in our heart. But Lord, we can't. We can't without thee. Do come. Come, dear Jesus. Be better than all our fears. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship. Lord, guide the ship through, guide us, as it were, through Lord, the sermon this morning. We do pray. In hearing, Lord, grant those hearing ears. In speaking, grant that speaking voice. Lord, bless thy word. Forgive our poor prayer. For Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows, I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
Needing so much the help of the dear Lord, I would direct your prayerful attention to the last clause in Job 33, verse 24. Job 33, verse 24, the last clause, I have found a ransom. The verse reads, Then he is gracious unto him and saith, Deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. We read the first few verses in Job 32, friends, just really to give us a little background on this man Elihu, who has delivering this speech in Job 33 unto Job. Now this is after Job's three comforters, so-called comforters, friends, had spoken to him various words, and this young man had listened, and perhaps in a wrong spirit, because we read he was angry, but Elihu was used of God because he was enabled to show Job in many ways that God Almighty sits in heaven and was leading him really to the all-powerful God and leading him away from really dwelling on himself. And you find in Job that after Elihu talks across two or three chapters, then the Lord God himself comes to speak to Job direct. And it's near in the time of his deliverance. But these are remarkable words we have before us, because they speak, of course, friends, of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ransom that was given to poor sinners. And may the Lord help us to open these things up. But I think of this man Elihu, we know very little of him, but it seems to me what wisdom and knowledge was given to a young man. And how we need to remember the word that it records here, that he says that I've waited because they're older than me, and there was no answer in the mouth of these three men. And then he said, I'm young and ye are very old. Now it may feel that you feel to be very young, young perhaps in the things of God, even though you're an older person. And there are those that have much more wisdom. But friends, we do need to be careful, because the Lord will teach us all things. And sometimes there are those very young in whom the work of the Lord is clearly going on, and those that are old, that, if you like, have not necessarily had the same depth of pathway. It's an individual thing. And this Elihu was given much wisdom here. And we hear no more of him after these few chapters, but much wisdom. And, you know, when I read this chapter, there were so many things in chapter 33. I felt this was a man who knew the Lord Jesus. He knew God then, and he says here, he shall pray unto God in verse 26. He will be favourable unto him. That man who shall return, whose flesh shall be flesher than a child's. In other words, the man that's been ransomed. So may the Lord help us then, as we've just set that little background, to come to the word. These five words, I have found a ransom. What is a ransom? Let's try and be simple about these things. What is a ransom? A ransom is a payment for freedom. A payment of a sum to give freedom. And each and every sinner needs to have a payment for their sins. And again, friends, I want to be so simple, and those of you further on in the way, you'll have to forgive the simplicity. But you know, And I say to the children, each time we sin, a disobedience to our parents, or each time we tell a lie, or we do something, or steal in our mind, perhaps we've not actually stolen something, but we desire something that someone else has got, perhaps we covet something. When we break these commandments, then the other sins as well we commit, where we don't put our trust in God. These sins, every single one of them has a price on it for everybody that's ever walked on earth. That has a price. That sin must be paid for. You know, this is solemn ground. Every sin. You sit in chapel, you might have a wrong thought to someone else that's sitting in chapel. Friends, we've been there. It's a sin before God, and there's a price on it. It's got to be paid for. Now, a ransom is something that gives us freedom. Our sins, we read of it, we hear of it, they're innumerable. They cannot be numbered. They're like the sand upon the seashore. They cannot be counted. The sins of the last week cannot be counted. Friends, and every single one of them, that sum is adding up. That the ransom has to be paid. I know it's simple, I know we know these things, but friends, it needs to come into our hearts. Every sin has got to be paid for, and will be paid for every single person that's walking the earth at the moment. Now, those sins will be paid by those that are lost eternally in an eternal state of suffering in hell. They will be paid for. There's no freedom. There's no ransom, but they must be paid for. The total sum, the debt that is owed, will be paid by them throughout eternity. Children, this ought to make you and me, it ought to make us feel anxious in a right sense before God, to pray that we would be helped not to sin, to follow what Mum and Dad say. You know, I want to be simple because, friends, this picks us, each of us up. You know, our sins, we discount them, friends. Oh, we think that's just a little sin and that doesn't count. The value on that is nothing. Friends, they're adding up that sum. We need them to be paid for, don't we? Because, friends, if they're not paid for, if there's not a ransom found for you and me, there's an eternity to be trodden out, to be walked out. We cannot even grasp the word eternity, let alone an eternity paying for our sins. Oh, I know we've heard these things time and time again, but the solemnity of it weighs so much on me this morning, of that the sins that speak against us. But I have found a ransom, says Elihu to Job. I found a ransom. And friends, as you are considering even your thoughts and the total sum that is adding up of your sins, you will feel this. Those of you, I hope there are those that feel you can go with this text, I have found a ransom. You may not feel you've got the ransom feeling upon you this morning that you are amongst them, but you've known it in times past. And no man can take that away from you. But oh, it will bring you, to those of you that have known that, to pray and pray again. Lord, show me that ransom again. That price that was paid for my sins. I have found. What a positive text it is, really, friends. Because you see, the ransom, the payment for the sins made by the Lord Jesus Christ for all of those that are saved. All those sins, that multiplicity of those sins adding up, as we said, like the sand on the seashore, the sum. You know, I was so encouraged. I know we often use the language, but our friend, the deacon, prayed this morning about the vile sinners. You see, the vileness, and that's what we each are. And yet, you see, there's a ransom that is sufficient for the vilest sinner, for the worst offender. And friends, I believe when the Lord starts to work in us, we may not have found a ransom, but we want one. The work of conviction says, I need show pity, Lord. Oh, Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. That's where we are. It's our heart goes out seeking a ransom. And it may be that that's where you are, poor sinner. You're seeking a ransom. Then there will be something beautiful in this word. I have found a ransom. I found it. But you might say, I can't get there, but I'm seeking it, friends. Seek on. Be encouraged that you're seeking it. Do you know what? It's only the ransomed souls that have got a desire. The world is dead. The world doesn't care about their sins. Or those that are lost in the world, they're not interested in that. In fact, what they do is scale their sins. You know, it comes into my mind, I had a most solemn situation at work. One of our directors died suddenly from pancreatic cancer, and I felt so led to send her a text, by a text message, a text from the Bible, and I felt to do it, and she came back and said that was a lovely word. Now, she's in a Church of England school in our trust, and I didn't know what her beliefs were. But it was so solemn, friends. I did go along to the funeral at a crematorium. It was a very sad thing. There was not one mention of God. It was nothing but a eulogy of the person, and she was a lovely lady. But what struck me was when I spoke to her husband and said to him that, and he said, oh, you sent that word, that was very nice. He said, I've got to say this, Mark. He said, we both lived and have upheld the Ten Commandments, but we've got no interest in religion. And I thought, well, firstly, you haven't lived by the Ten Commandments because we've all broken it. And secondly, how solemn. How solemn. Oh, friends, then these things come home to us. And as I sat in that, and everyone said after that, well, it wasn't a service, but they said, oh, how wonderful it was. And even as Church of England vicar said to me, this has been good. This has been good. Has it? Eulogy of the person. Oh, friends, how solemn it is. And I felt this, I can judge no soul, but where was the ransom? Friends, we need that ransom. We need to know that there was one that stood in our room, place, and stead. When we go before the Lord Jesus Christ in the day, the time of judgment, that's when the ransom will be paid and fully, and in that sense that it will cover us and there will be no judgment poured upon us. Oh, I have found a ransom. Yes, a ransom, a payment, a payment to save us then from the wrath that is due unto us, from going down into the pit. Going down into the pit. A ransom, a price for freedom. The price, his own heart's blood. Friends, and you know what is so wonderful is that when the price is paid by the Lord Jesus, and he gives us an inkling of that as those poor sinners following him, he shows this, that beautiful hymn, 23, he shows us that he bought our souls from death and hell. The price, his own heart's blood. Friends, when we come and have a view of that, and oh, it's such a desire of mine that we might know and see him and have a view of him there suffering for us. Friends, I know these are deep things, but the ransom, the price, what it cost him, what it cost him. It cost him your sins, my sins, we hope, and each of the chosen vessels of mercy throughout all time, what it cost him. Because that's the punishment. He said he'd bear the punishment instead. He'd bear the punishment instead. And you know, payment cannot be demanded twice. Beautiful hymn as well, 227 that came to me. Payment God cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand, and then again at mine. You won't have to make a penny. You won't have to pay a penny, friends, for all of those things that you've done wrong. You won't have to pay a penny if the Lord's blood and his righteousness has covered them, has removed it. And you know, friends, you will have to prove that I'm clean, just God, I'm clean, I'm pure. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Now, you young people will notice as well, I know this is a complicated text, but I want to draw you into this. You know, we've all got never-dying souls, haven't we? And you'll notice in the in your margin, it may say in yours, I don't know, but it says in mine, a ransom or an atonement. An atonement. We use this word, don't we, in our chapels? Atonement. Which again really is a payment made for sin, but it also means a reconciliation with God. Now, we're all sinners since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and we need, and in our natural state, we are not ones that look to God in anything. But he will have us to turn to him. And this atonement, it will have us to be reconciled to God, reconciled through his blood, reconciled through the sacrifice of his dear son. But that reconciliation is this, at one-ment, at one. We are at one with God. That's where the word comes from. You children remember that? At one-ment, atonement. Yes, and the church of Christ, his bride, as a bride is at one with her husband, they become one flesh. The church, the bride of Christ, is at one by the drawing power of the Holy Spirit to be at one with him, at one-ment. Atonement made by the ransom, the payment. Friends, it's beautiful, you know. The question for you and me is this morning. Have we found a ransom? Has the Lord found us and shown us the ransom for our sins? Oh, what a question it is. And what a thought it is to go away. If we take nothing away but to go away and to plead, Lord, I really don't know, but show me the ransom. Oh, that a payment has been made. You know, the first one that occurred to me in the Bible as a type of the Lord Jesus in terms of a ransom was Joseph. There's Joseph and his brothers. Jealousy. And they don't like the coat of many colours, do they? And they throw him into the pit, deliver him from going down into the pit. We read here, I know the pit, we mean the pit of destruction, hell. But Joseph, they put him in a pit. What a blessing there was in the pit. Why was there a blessing in the pit? Because there was no water in it. We read it in God's word. He would have drowned otherwise. But this, then there were those Ishmaelites that come along and the brothers. I think it's Reuben says, he says, we cannot kill our brother. So they, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. And Judah says the same. So they concur in that. For 20 pieces of silver he sold. The ransom, you see, the payment, 20, that payment saved his life. It gave him freedom. It didn't feel like freedom. Oh, friends, and I see a little of this spiritually. It didn't feel like freedom. And neither does it feel like freedom when the work of grace is beginning in our hearts, if, and I do acknowledge it's different for different ones, some, I believe, feel their sins are forgiven before they're really convicted fully of their sins, and then they come into walking that pathway later. But, friends, you often the Lord shows us a little of ourselves, and we don't like what we see. Oh, when we feel to be that we're destined for the pit. And we feel probably like poor Joseph there. He's been sold as a slave to go down into Egypt. And we feel we're going to be lost. We feel the weight of our sin. We feel the burden of it. And we feel that it's going to cut us off from God eternally. The work of conviction, it's a solemn work, but it's part of it. The work of conviction will bring in us that desire to find a ransom. And so, as we think of the case of Joseph, and you might say, well, to you, it doesn't seem that relevant. But really, friends, you think of him, the type of Christ. Christ was sold for 30 coins, 30 pieces of silver. And here's this man for 20. Oh, I'm glad Joseph wasn't of the same value as Jesus. I mean that in a right way, friends, because of course he was a type of Christ, but oh, no man that's got sin can be anywhere near Jesus that was sinless and spotless. But oh, to come back to Joseph, so we think of him there then, and he's sold down into Egypt that he might be a deliverer. He might be a deliverer to his own people as they came into those 7 years of need. And so on, and you know the wonderful story and how he had to say, God, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so it is in the pathway, friends, when, you know, those that seek a ransom, sometimes they come into those great trials and they're so troubled as to whether there is a God. And they come into those places of loss and crosses and they think, Lord, thou hast forsaken me. They know what it is to be in the 22nd Psalm. Why hast thou forsaken me? They know where it is. The Lord Jesus walked that path. Oh, friends, we know it. But I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. And they will find the ransom. And that ransom will appear to them again, even though they have got into those dark places and those tried places and those tempted times. It will be so. I have found a ransom. Yes, friends, a view of him upon the cross. You know, I'll give you an example of those deep places, you see. And I'll give you an example, and I don't often speak about my dear dad, and you'll remember some of you, perhaps many of you won't, because it's many years since he spoke in this pulpit. But you see, that dear man, he went into hospital in his 40s with an appendicitis. In those days, these days, it's a couple of days in and out. But in those days, it was 5 days in and you'd be sent home after your appendicectomy. No, friends. He was severely ill with it. And I think it burst when they took it out at the time. And it was, it was so used. And his pastor, Mr. Bradford, visited him and he quoted that word, now chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. And nevertheless, yes, that nevertheless in the word of God, that it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And, you know, his pastor went away and he said within a few minutes, he said, the Lord appeared. I can't describe it, he said. He looked at me from the cross. And there he was in that time of affliction. 19 days he was in hospital. He said it didn't seem long. The Lord looked at him from the cross and his heart was broken. He found a ransom. The ransom found him, really, is the way we, in that sense. But because we know we can't find it ourselves, friends, but we do through prayer, we do through exercise, we do through the beginning of the work of the Spirit in us to desire the ransom. Oh, friends, I would be that each and every one soul here today desires a ransom, that it means something to them, that you care about these things, you have care for your never-dying soul. And so, friends, there are many cases, aren't there, those that have been led to find this ransom. Oh, the payment, the payment. You see, he says, the ransomed of the Lord shall return. I found that such a beautiful word, because they shall come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Friends, if you are in a dark place today, but you feel you've known the ransomed love of the Lord and you have been ransomed in the past, but you're now in despair and you're now in darkness and these things are all against you now, the ransomed of the Lord shall return. His promises must come to pass and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their head. You will come into that time of joy and light again upon the pathway. Oh, you say, how long? Oh, Lord, how long? Well, we've got to walk it out, friends, haven't we? But you will come into it. You must, because he set forth that love in you and he's shown you a little of his love and none can remove that. Yes. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Oh, Ethiopia and Seba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. And how precious must you be that all of those sins, and we talked of the multiplicity of them, that they're covered by that sacrifice that he made. Yes. Oh, friends, that he should die for his friends. Oh, it's such a message for us this morning to, oh, stir us up into prayer, I hope, friends. That's what I desire. We can preach this as servants of God as hard as you like, but in the end, you know, it's only the Lord, isn't it, that can soften hearts and can move each of us. Yes. You see, it's Zechariah speaks, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. The pit of no water. Wonderful. In other words, you're in the pit, you're in a hole, but you're not drowned there. And I saw that so much with thinking about Joseph, that he was to go down and he had that long pathway, didn't he, before he was delivered. But wasn't he delivered? And wasn't the power of God evidenced in him? And he had to say, and you and I willing, through grace, it is not in me. It's not in me that I've been given this power and this blessing. It's not in me. I have found a ransom. One who will pay the price. I found him. Oh, you know, we think that we talk to the bride of Christ a little, but she goes out after him. She's going out after him to see, where has my beloved gone? By night on my bed I saw him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Again, that might be where you are, friends. But oh, those for whom he's beloved, because he's made a ransom, he's paid the price for them. I will rise now. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I will go around the city in the streets. Yes. Oh, friends, is he beloved to you? You know, friends, you'll be in that first hymn. You will desire, without any doubt whatsoever, that you would say, it is my chief complaint that my love is cold and faint. Yet I love thee and adore, oh, for grace to love thee more. You would desire that, friends, if you know that you found a ransom, or a payment then, an atonement for each and every one of your sins. It's a lovely word in Timothy. It says this, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. For all those that his father had said to him he must be a ransom for all the chosen vessels of grace, and some of the vilest sinners are there, friends, aren't they? Oh, they are. We read that hymn of Mary's all Manasseh's sins. Manasseh, who condemned many thousands of the Jews and the Lord's people, condemned them to death. The blood running down the streets of Jerusalem with that man's hand. He could have stopped it. He didn't. But the Lord brought him into affliction, and Manasseh had to turn to the Lord. He found a ransom. And then there's Rahab. Oh, Rahab, she's not a delightful character, is she? You know, friends, she isn't in nature, is she? And yet Rahab sought out the spies, went to her house. She told a lie in covering the spies. And she's living a life of that's wrong, isn't she? But Rahab, there she is. She found a ransom. The scarlet cord. Friends, it's a ransom. The scarlet cord in the window. Mary Magdalene, seven devils, she found a ransom. Oh, friends, you're not too bad. I tell you, you know what your sins, some of your sins are. Perhaps you feel like me, utterly ashamed. Utterly ashamed at times, don't we? We really do. Of some of the vile things that if perhaps we'd not carried out, we thought. Oh, the thoughts of the mind and the enemy working in us. But we blame him. Friends, have you blamed Satan of late for things? Your vile, wretched heart. You know, later on in Job, we read he says this, "Behold, I am vile." And that's where he had to come. But the Lord took pity and mercy upon him. And he had to prove that he found a ransom. Yes. Well, friends, a ransom. Oh, the payment to be found of him. We read, this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission, which is the forgiveness, the pardon of sins. Yes. And as we drink later on, those that have been led to come forward to join the church as we drink later on. What a solemn thought it will be at that time. But you see, friends, to know something of his pardoning grace. Yes, I have found a ransom, a payment. Friends, I don't know where this is coming from, but the thought comes into this. This is a spiritual text, and I'll mention one thing in providence. It may be that you need to find a payment for something to give you freedom from something. I don't know if you've got a debt. I don't know what it is, but I have found a ransom, and the Lord will find a way for you. And we leave it there. Because I'm reading here, even as I open the word, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And we leave it there, friends. But, oh, the ransom spiritually. The ransom. Yes, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So we read in Matthew, yes, we read in the hymn, ransomed mortals will swell the song in heaven. They're the ones loudest of the crowd there sing. Yes. Oh, friends, I have found. Oh, it's a statement, you know. And you know, at this point of time, to that statement, I have found a ransom. If I asked you the question and you had to write down the answer, you know, there's only really a yes or a no. to this? And I wonder what the answer would be in your little notebook. And friends, if the answer's no, oh, may we be seeking a ransom from this day onwards. May it be a change in us. Friends, we come in and out of chapel, you know, but we have an eternity, we have a time, it's timeless. We know 10:30, we know 6:30, we live in a world of time, but oh, the state that cannot change. Friends, I feel like saying I'm sorry for being solemn, but we cannot be sorry for these things because, you see, the blood is upon the servants of God as they come before you. If they do not mention these things, because we all get lethargic. We even get lethargic about coming to chapel. The seat's comfortable. We enjoy singing the hymns. Of course we do, friends. But oh, to get into the language of them. Oh, to be able to walk these things. Oh, to have a living religion within us. And I believe souls that have this morning will be on the search that they know that they found this ransom. Oh, we so often have to speak about those desires that are brought out within us. Desires for real religion. Those feeble desires. Those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. And he will have it to be so. Yes. Oh, friends, the ransom. The ransom given. You know, Moses, we go back and ponder him when they turn to their idols. They turn to their idols. You know, and it was, I was glad we sang that second hymn because it talked about if there's anything that comes in the way of our religion, tear it away, Lord. And I think of the idols that we have and the things that we set up, don't we? So easily, each of us, you know, and we would be careful of these naming these things. But, you know, I think our access to the internet and our mobile phones, you know, we can start to spend so much time on these things, friends. And I say to the young people that you might be prayerful about using them wisely, and each of us, because we can get carried away with these things. And they may not be bad what we're doing, but it's the attachment to them and the need to be ever on the end of the phone. I see so much of it, and friends, you know, it's the idol. It can become an idol to us. Well, the people have sinned a great sin, said Moses. They've made them gods of gold. And he said that Moses said, "You've sinned a great sin. Now I will go up to the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin." Well, that was Moses before God trying to make an atonement for the people's sins. What he meant was he would pray before God. Oh, yes, may we each be able to pray before God, pray for forgiveness, seek him daily for forgiveness for our sins, that daily we might know something of his pardon. Yes, oh, it's a daily walk, isn't it? It really is, friends. To lay these things up day by day as we go on through the pathway. Well, friends, yes. You see, there's a lovely word in if I can find it in Isaiah. Yes. Art thou not it which have dried the sea? That is the arm of the Lord, the waters of the great deep, made the depths of the sea away for the ransom to pass over. Yes, a way of salvation, the sea of death, for the ransom to pass over. That they will pass over that last enemy, shouting the triumphs of their king. I have found. Yes, a present tense. I have found. And friends, these thoughts aren't always with us. But oh, can we look back to the past tense and say, I did find then, here and there, in that place, in this place, there the Lord spoke to me. You know, I was reading of my grandfather, actually. He was a deacon at East Peckham Chapel. for many years, and that dear man was, he had a small holding, and he was blessed twice, you know, doing the very ordinary things in life. Oh, what it is, friends. I know we desire the blessing when we come to the house of God, but a 24/7 religion, you know, with the Lord's people, desiring him. And he came. One day he said, I had such a revelation of Christ on the cross by faith as I fed the chickens. And another day he said, it was Christmas morning and now I am kneeling, milking the cow. He said, and the Lord came in and said amongst the animals that he had to come in the stable, he said, I had such a view of the incarnate mystery revealed to me. Friends, in our daily lives, to ever pray that the Lord would reveal to us something of himself. It's what we desire, isn't it? Well, friends, these are those that have gone before, and I have to say they found a ransom. Oh, friends, may we seek on, may we plead on, may we beg on, and prove yet, yes, friends. Oh, we thought of that lovely hymn, Gethsemane. And you know, there's a couple of lovely lines in this. And it may be a poor sinner feels like this today. There's not much hope for them, but not a glimpse of hope for me. Only in Gethsemane. The Lord bless his own word. I have found a ransom.
God willing, Mr. Seymour will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Sunday school will be at Bethany today. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Izzard. And would the praying members please be ready to give out a hymn. Mr. Izzard is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Tim Parrish. God willing, there'll be a church meeting on Friday the 17th of December after the preaching service. And the Oakington Christmas service is next Saturday. Let us close with hymn 764. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. Hymn 764.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for the last hymn that is a sermonette on the word we've tried to speak of. Lord, thou knowest. We thank thee for help with the choice of them, and we pray for that again this evening. Do grant us, Lord, that reflection upon thy word. Help us through the day, Lord, each of us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.